Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
In my heart today, kept coming up what to do with fear. And sometimes we think of fear as something gross and obvious, something that's just an obvious thing, like I'm terrified of this, I'm terrified of that. That's, of course, fear. But I want to talk to you tonight just briefly about fear in the sense that how fear can operate in our life in ways to where we integrate it into our life. We literally adopt it. We don't even recognize it anymore. And the Bible says of fear that it has great torment. You'll find where fear has found a lodging place in your life or my life, with it will come torment. With it will come great disruption internally. We know, of course, that stress and things like that can even cause disease in people's bodies. And so let's look at what the Word says about it. Just some things that kept coming into my heart. I want to talk to you briefly tonight about what do you do with fear? What do you do with it? Because everybody has to deal with it. And yet, what do you do with it? Well, two simple things I want to talk to you about tonight is how to resist it and how to replace it in your life. Those two simple things about fear in your life. Fear isn't always obvious. There are internal things that we've internalized as a result of the way we've lived our life. You can have a fear of not having enough money because of things you've experienced. And you know, there are people with more than enough money who still live in fear about money. There are people who are so fear-driven that they work 90 hours a week. And some would say they're a workaholic. Anything that has a holic put on the back of it, you could put fear beside it. Most people don't do things to the extreme because they like them. They're driven. God's a leader. Fear's a driver. Remember that about God. He never drives you to do anything. That's why the Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Fear drives you. God leads you. Through the years, I've had people say to me, well, God made me do that. Well, no, he didn't. God doesn't make us do anything. He'll lead us, and then he wants us to exercise our will. And that's why I've even heard people say this, God's breaking my will. Well, what's God want with you having a broken will? God gave you a free will not to break it, but for you to choose to use it to his glory. And so much is there are people who are afraid of God. And I don't mean a reverential fear. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That word fear does not mean afraid of God like he's going to harm you. It's talking about a reverence. How many of you know if there was a tornado sweeping down the middle of Route 19? Right now, a big tornado. And we could either get out of its path or in its path. How many of you have enough sense to get out of its path? Why? Well, because you have reverence for what it can do to you. You see it coming. Well, God's not a tornado. But he does want reverence. He wants us to honor him and to reverence him in our life. So when you hear the word fear of the Lord, please don't think fear like the word torment. Fear, like I'm afraid of the dark. That word, the fear of the Lord, is more of the word awe, being in awe of God. The reverence of God. How many of you have ever been to the Rocky Mountains? Now, I've only been there once, and I can tell you that it's a dangerous place to drive. Because I couldn't keep my eyes on the road. And every time I'd see, and it was awe-inspiring. How many of you love the ocean? Oh, I love the ocean. It's one of my favorite places on the planet. But every time I walk by the ocean, it puts me in awe of God. I reverence him with the magnitude of his person. So fear, though, some people are afraid of God, inappropriately so. Some people's internal fears, they're afraid of relationships. There are people afraid to get involved in intimate relationships, friendships, live isolated. And fear will drive you. So look at Psalms 34. We'll start in verse 1. Psalms 34. And I'm reading, if you guys want to, it's a New King James Version if you want to put it up. Psalms 34. And the next verse will be the NIV and the next one will be the New King James if you are looking for the translation up there, guys. Psalms 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Everyone say magnify.
Magnify.
Say magnify. That means make God large in your life. Just like you would with a magnifying glass. How many of you know we all magnify things in our life and it's not always God and His Word and His view of the issue? How many of you have ever magnified the wrong thing? Okay, the rest of you just magnified lying. So, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Now look at verse 4. And I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from just about all of my fears. Or most of them. Or the ones that were awfully big. How many fears did He get delivered from?
All.
Everyone say all.
All.
Now how many of you know what all means in Hebrew?
All.
All. It means all. He said that in seeking God, in humbling myself before Him, in magnifying God, He heard me, He delivered me from how many of my fears?
All.
So is it possible to live fear-free as a Christian?
Yes.
Sure it is. And yet, through the years, I've had people almost fight you about that. Well, that's just not possible. Well, either the Bible's correct or you are. Now, I don't mean this to be unkind, but I think I'm going to pick God. How many of you would reverence God's view of something rather than someone's experience of something? Now, I didn't say the fear in your life wasn't real, wasn't tormenting, wasn't something you didn't maybe feel like you could get free of. But I want to ask you a question. If God said, I can deliver you from all of your fear, then can you live as a Christian where fear is no longer driving you? See, God's called us to be led by Him, not pushed, not driven through fear. And either you could say it this way, because there really is no middle ground. In the real issues of my life and your life, there are one of two influences governing how I live, either fear or faith. Both are governed often by the unseen. Both are governed by something that you can't tangibly touch. Both are leaders. You and I have to choose which one we're going to follow. Fear leads many people. And it leads them down roads they don't want to go. And it takes them, and in fact, and sadly, fear stops people from going down many roads. Now, what I'm about to say about our church is not to say it's better than any, because it's not. But I would suggest to you, what's happened here in 19 years has been pretty wonderful. And yet, there's a view among Christians that this was just a sovereign move of God. And it was. I mean, anything God does is full of mercy and grace, and it's all God, and I'm glad. But I would suggest to you, let's pretend you're God. I know we've all tried to take that job before, so we can pretend. How many of you can pretend you're God for a minute? Your son died on a cross to save the whole world. And you have churches that you instituted in the earth that are to be a representative of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who the Bible said spoiled principalities, powers, dominion, and everything that's named is under His feet. He's the head of this organization. And you're going to put bodies of believers together in communities to reflect the mission of Jesus to touch and to lift that community. You're the head of the church. You're Jesus. And now you're going to be the head of a church. Now, can I ask you a question? Would Jesus want that church to be fruitful or not? Is that something you'd have to even think about? Well, how about this? When Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against what? He said it won't prevail against my church. Does God want every church to be thriving? Sure He does. Does God want every Christian in every church to be thriving in His presence? Sure He does. How many of you know God wants people to get saved? Amen. Can I ask you a question? Why is it that in some churches that they'll go a year or two or three and no one give their life to Jesus in several years? Why? How can that be? How can it be that Jesus, something that Jesus is the head of, doesn't even grow, it goes backwards? They're fighting every month just to pay the bill. And barely can pay the pastor. And in their main prayer meeting they say, Lord, you keep them humble, we'll keep them poor. That's their mission. And they end up with this internal, inside focus. And this is the church of Jesus Christ. And how many people I've met through the years, good men, good women, good people. Yet the way they live their church life is wrapped in fear. Every time we've expanded as a church, every step we've taken has not been met without opposition. And I won't go into the details, but I mean, if you've been a part of this church, you know, it's been significant. And I can't tell you how many times people I'm acquainted with in ministry would know the plans we were making and when we were doing this project that you're in this building right now, when we began to talk about it and do our capital campaign, our offering, our first commitment that we're going to come in was about 2 weeks after 9/11. And I remember friends saying to me, well, you're going to put your building on hold, aren't you? I mean, you can't build now. The whole country's in fear. And it was a terrible time in our nation. And yet, there were churches that put everything on hold for 2 years because some demon-possessed madmen flew planes places they shouldn't. And then flew into buildings and killed innocent people, and they went to hell. Not because they flew the planes, they didn't know Jesus. Thought they were doing God a service. And you know how many churches were led by those terrorists? You know how many plans were altered because of some crazy demon-possessed men? Now, I have to tell you, it shook me. I mean, that was a crazy time in our nation. I made a decision before God. I said, Lord, I promise you, you're the head of the church, not some demon-possessed terrorist. And sure enough, not some crazy guy with a beard living in a cave. It's a terrible thing that happened. But he's not the head of the church. These are real issues. Do you know how many people missed heaven because the church wouldn't be the church? Do you know how many people are missing heaven because the church won't be the church? And it's trapped in fear. They're asking, instead of listening to God, being led by God, they're being driven. Fear will drive you to places you never dreamed possible. Two things you have to do with fear. You have to learn to resist it, and you have to replace it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. This is out of the NIV. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 says, it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. And with the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Everyone say spirit of faith.
Spirit of faith.
So it's possible, according to the word of God, to live in such a way that your beliefs govern your words. And the Bible calls that having a spirit of faith, that when you believe something, you talk about it. A spirit of faith is when what God says and what God's view is governs your life. And every one of us, look, we can unpack all of our lives this evening, and we can all find areas where fear has been the leader. And it can affect, it affects your relationships. Do you know how many people raise their children through a spirit of fear? They're afraid to let their kids go here, afraid to let their kids go there. It's all right if the Lord leads you not to put your child in this situation or environment. Or God leads you for whether kids are going over here. I just don't feel good about that. And so you don't let them go. It's a whole other thing to keep your child attached to your hip. And say, well, I just love them. I'm protecting them. No, you're not protecting anybody. You're training them to live in that fear. Because somehow how many of you have ever gone on a trip, left your children, and prayed over your kids and said, Lord, I mean, how many of you, now, let's be honest, when you leave your kids, you leave your family, and you're going on a trip, how many of you make it an extra, when you pray then, it's for real? Come on. You're going to be gone. You're going to be out of the country. You're going to be in another city. Lord, I just thank you for keeping my family. And you know, a friend of mine who's Ed Elliott, who will be back at Impartation this year. If you had the chance to hear Ed, you're wonderful ministry. Ed, we lived with him in Africa, and Ed would go to places, and I used to tease him and say, Ed, look, either you're listening to God or you have a death wish. And I'm telling you, he'd go places where it was just crazy. And I said, Ed, do you know they're shooting the people here? He'd say, yes, where God led me to go. I'm thinking, sure, I hope he did, because I'm led to go with you. And so, you know, he'd leave his family. And he'd have to go pretty often, and he said, I was praying over my family one day. Say, Lord, in my absence, keep them. He said, the Spirit of God spoke up on the inside of me and said, who do you think keeps them when you're here? Do you think it's you? If I can't keep them when you're absent, I can't keep them when you're here. You just need to trust me whether you're here or not. The fact of it is so easy to be governed by a spirit of fear. It is so easy to let it control your life. Now, don't get condemned about it. There wouldn't be all this stuff in the Bible. You know how many times the word fear not's in the Bible? A whole bunch. Because we're human beings. But you can't embrace it as a friend. You've got to identify it, and you've got to say, I resist that. I'm not going to let that govern my life. See how many people don't do things in their life they were meant to do because of fear? How many opportunities they backed out of because of fear? Do you know perfectionism is fear? Do you know that perfectionism is fear? People that live that are perfectionists, it's just a form of fear. Now, you can mask it and dress it up, but you can put a skirt on a pig, it's still a pig. It really is. And a lot of times perfectionism manifests in one of... just so you know, I didn't plan to say these things. These are coming up in my heart, so take heed. Perfectionism will manifest in one of two ways with people. They'll either do what is the obvious of a perfectionist. They'll be very controlling. Everything has to be a certain order, a certain way. They'll have a tendency to be a little OCD. You know, we jokingly say there's a right place, a way to put the fork in the drawer in a wrong way. They put the spices in order, in alphabetical order, turn the same way. They rake the carpet. So all the pile goes in one direction. They go nuts if someone walks on the freshly raked carpet. That's a problem. And that's perfectionism, and it's fear. But you know, right on the other side of that, people that don't do that they can't keep any order in their life. They just won't attempt anything. You know, often those people are perfectionists as well. One fear said, you can do this and control it, and they just ruined everybody's life and their own, trying to make everybody live in the order of their crazy fear. The other one said, fear said, you're never going to do it perfectly, so don't do anything at all. One gives up and literally never goes to where God put them to go in any direction. The fear-driven person just drives everybody crazy. One's pretty obvious. You look at the one, you say, well, they're not doing anything with their life. They're just tied up in knots. They're captured in this little ball. And the person on the other side of the equation will actually look at that person and say, what's wrong with you? And they're both living in the same fear. Fear doesn't come with a big old cape and a sign and a bullhorn saying, I'm here, it's me, it's fear. It comes in these forms, and if you don't know how to recognize it, you have to resist fear. Particularly when it comes to issues like control. I always, when you know, you counsel people long enough, most perfectionists marry people that aren't, just so they can have a horrible life. But anyway, I've sat with a bunch of people that are fear driven perfectionists, and they'll say, "Well, it's just wrong to go to bed with something like that." I said, well, no, it's not wrong. It's just your choice. I said, well, I don't have a problem. I said, here's what you do. For the next week, go to bed each night and leave your dishes all dirty on the counter. Don't do a dish. Let it stack up. And don't even rinse them. Let them just crust on there. And go to bed and see if you can sleep. I can do it. They can't even go to bed one night. They have to clean them. Because don't you know the cleanliness is next to godliness? It's not in the Bible, by the way.
Amen.
All the people think it is. It's not. Although it's probably pretty good to be clean. Particularly if you're sitting by somebody. So, but he said, it's written, I believe, therefore have I spoken with the same spirit of faith. We also believe and speak. So there's a spirit of faith you can live by. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. This is Paul writing to Timothy. And I think it's good to give a little context here. You have to understand what Timothy was dealing with. Timothy was being persecuted. He was a pastor. And as Timothy pastored, and they were persecuting him, and ultimately Timothy was martyred. So when Paul talks about Timothy having fear, it wasn't just because, you know, he wasn't going to get his bills paid by the end of the month. They wanted to kill Timothy, and ultimately he was martyred. And so listen to what Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 4. He said, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Boy, if that's ever a picture of how important it is to live a godly life. Here's a picture of the influence of a grandmother and a mother on somebody that a whole book of the Bible was written to. So you might be a Lois or a Eunice or a Louie or a Huey. Or a Huey. I mean, one or the other. You can make an influence as a grandparent and as a parent. He said, verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now Paul ordained Timothy, we don't have time to get into that. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Notice that he said this, he said, God didn't give you this spirit of fear. The spirit God gave you, which is a spirit of faith, is a spirit of power. It's a spirit of love, and listen to what it produces. A sound mind. What's he saying? You live in fear, you'll have an unsound mind. Well, it's another way of saying anxiety. Stress. It's another way of saying unrest in your mind. In your emotions. Now, this issue, he's simply saying to him, God didn't give that to you. There's no valid reason for you to keep it. He said, but God didn't give it to you. You've got to stir something up in you, Timothy. You've got to stir up the gift of God that was in you through the putting on of my hands. I wish I had time to give that context. I don't. But he said, there's something on the inside of you, and you're not yielding to what God's put in you. You're yielding to these external things. And fear is now your driver instead of me being your leader. And what it's done, if he said, a spirit of fear, he said, a spirit of faith, he said, is power, love, and sound mind. Then what would a spirit of fear bring in your life? An absence of what? Power. An absence of love. And an absence of a sound mind. Now that's a tormenting way to live. Many people live feeling powerless over the circumstances of their life. And now, we can all feel that way. We can all feel tempted to that. We can all have circumstances present themselves in that manner. And they do to all of us. But we're not called to let that govern our life. We are called to be governed by what the Word of God says. And so you have to resist fear, and then you have to replace it. And so you have to learn to say what God says. You listen, all of us, if you have children in this day and age, this is a crazy world. You see your kids growing up in this world's nuts. Well, your mind can go crazy. Your mind can go places you don't even want to dream of. And yet, if you're not careful, in the name of caring for your child, you'll smother your child. You'll never let them grow up. You'll make decisions for them. You won't let them go off into life. You'll keep them up under your wing, so to speak. Problem is, your wing isn't big enough to take care of them. Truth of it is, your wing's pretty messed up. If you're doing that, they're under a wing full of filth. Fear's not good. I don't care how much you say you love somebody. It's just not healthy. But we've all watched, we know of people who've been warped in life because of a parent who so-called loved their child. I know of a situation where a woman in her 50s, she's now 60. If you were to meet her, you would think that she would have had some form of debilitation in her life. That you would have thought that there was something that had happened to her, either some type of brain damage injury, something of that magnitude. By the way, she lived her life. And there wasn't a thing in the world wrong with her. Her mother, in the name of love, literally, this is an extreme case, wouldn't let her go out of her sight. Told her that, don't go out to the mailbox. You go out to the mailbox, you'll get raped. Couldn't go to the mailbox. Because you go out to the mailbox, someone will rape you. Now, it'd be one thing if you lived in a part of the world that was, you know, dangerous. This isn't a rural community. I don't know in this community if there was a reported rape in the last, 20 or 30 years. And yet this young lady, at 50-some years old, now 60-some, her mother's now dead. She's having to stay in a home. Completely normal. Talk to her about getting the mail. You know what she tells them? That as a 60-year-old woman, I can't go get mail. I'll get raped. And she's an intelligent person. Fear warped her. Now, that's an extreme situation. And we can all look at that and say, well, that's just extreme. Fear has that kind of debilitation no matter where you put it. It may not be to that level. But you'll live half a life. We've got to replace it. I have the same thoughts come to my mind as you do if you have children or grandchildren. And yet what you have to learn to do is say, my God's faithful. My children will possess the gates of their enemy. Didn't say he'll be able to just survive the enemies. He said possess their gates. What's that mean? The gate is owning the city. It's having the access to the city. He said, my children will possess the gates of their enemy. They'll be overcomers in life. The seed of the upright will be blessed. And so you begin to say, Lord, I trust you for that. Lord, I thank you for favor over my kid's life. Favor's what you don't deserve. Favor is unmerited from God and men. Say, Lord, I thank you for giving my kids favor. I thank you everywhere they go, people treat them better than they deserve because you're faithful. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Exactly. It's called grace. You have to replace it. Listen again what Paul told Timothy. Verse 7, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Everybody say sound mind. Now, I don't know. You know, Jesus said in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. My, we live in a world that it seems to have escalated. We've gotten smarter and smarter, so to speak. More educated. We're educated now, and we have access to information, unimaginable information. You can Google anything. In fact, we live in a world now that people can take out their phones and Google while you're talking. Can you imagine going into the 60s and look at someone and say, I'm going to Google you? People would say, well, you better not. I'll punch you right in the mouth if you Google me. Don't you Google me. We got information. We've got access to information. And yet, there's more fear. There's more anxiety. There's more, our politics are more fear driven. People don't tell you what to vote for. They tell you what to be afraid of. I'm sure that's always been the case in politics. But 90% of the last election, everything you heard was about what to be afraid of, and I'll fix it for you. Superman will fix it. Neither one of those fellows is Superman. And it's just a lie, and it's hypocrisy. And it's certainly not leadership. Tell you what to be afraid of and then lie and tell you you can fix it. Because you can't. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, who you are. And yet, it's how whole elections are, it's how literally the strategery teams, the teams of strategery for both political parties, they sit in a room and figure out what people are afraid of and then tell you who to blame and then tell you how they're going to make your fears go away. Now tell me that has one thing to do with bettering your life or my life. It has nothing to do but with power. So we live in a culture where we are manipulated through fear. How many of you know in the Pittsburgh area, now, no offense to the news programs here, but how many of you know they use the weather as a way to make you watch the news? Severe, how about this? Severe weather 11. Whatever it's called. We have a severe weather channel. Severe weather, what, it's like, is it really severe? If a huge snowfall is coming, it's winter! And now every time it's going to snow, you think, news at 11. Only on 11. And, you know, we have an exclusive on Channel 4. Tell you what to be, it's fear driven. And it sells peanut butter. They get you to watch the news through fear. They get you to vote for whoever you vote for through fear. It's a kingdom designed to drive you and use you and manipulate you and exploit you and deplete you. Jesus said, I've come to give you life.
Amen.
And life in abundance. He didn't come to take anything. He came to give.
Amen.
He didn't come to manipulate. He came to empower. And he told you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See, living fear-free means you get to live out the will of God for your life.
Amen.
Doesn't mean fear won't come. It comes to everybody. But you don't have to yield to it. You can resist it and you can replace it. You watch enough television, I'll tell you. And I'll tell you what, the internet, if you ever get anything in your body, don't, dear God, don't Google it. I made that mistake before. Had a little hitch in my giddy up somewhere. I said, wonder what this is. Put it in the, I Googled it. I said, dear Jesus, the black plague's on me. My ears are going to fall off. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. I mean, you read that and then you go to like, maybe, I don't know if they're blogs or threads. Is it a thread? There's threads and blogs. But go back to someone in the 60s and say, I've got a thread and a blog. They go, that's good. I hope you get better. And you read people's stories with your symptoms. Dear Jesus, by the time you're done, you're like, oh. You keep going down the line, hope to find someone in the thread that lived. Fear is a terrible, 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 terrible master. And God didn't give you that spirit. He gave you one of power, one of love, and of a sound mind. You are a person of faith. You are a person of faith. You serve a faith God. He's called us to live, governed by what we believe. I believe, therefore I speak. If God said it, I've got to let it govern my life. Not in some fancy fake confession that you're going to go out and just kind of broadcast to people. Just in your everyday vernacular, your everyday living life, everyday talking. That you have words that agree with what God said. You don't talk about your kids the way other people do. You don't talk about fear the way other people do. This is coming. What's going to happen? Oh, I'll tell you what. Flu's going around. Oh, we ever get the flu. Get the flu. Boy, the flu goes up. Flu, we get the flu. Oh, goes through the house. Whoo, everybody gets the flu. Every year we get the flu. Get the flu. Here come the flu. Flu, here we come. Here come the flu. It just... Now, the flu comes. I get it. But I mean, learn to... You don't stand and say, listen, I thank you, Lord, that you protect our home.
Amen.
Listen, I had the flu this year. I don't want it again. Last time I had a flu like that, I was in college. It was unpleasant both times. The only good thing about the flu this time is that Steve Moore had to just work like 500 services in a row. And I tell you, I was tempted to feel badly about it. But I got over it real quick. I really did feel badly. I mean, right over the Christmas weekend, he had to do like 19 services. And it was, anyway, and so, and John Spencer... I couldn't even do a wedding I had promised to do, and It was a Sunday afternoon. I was going to bless the Lord. And so it wasn't a happy thing. But I sure enough don't want to call for it. And sure don't want to say it's going to run through the whole house. Learn to replace what you've resisted. Just don't live in neutral. Say what God says about you. Don't go out saying it to others. The Bible says if you have faith, have it between you and God. But just learn to talk in a way that agrees with God. And people won't even know you're being spiritual. They'll just say, well, you know, you just don't talk like everyone else. Yeah, I guess not. Aren't you afraid of that? Oh, yeah, I'd be afraid of that too. Yeah, I could see why you'd be afraid of that. What about you? Well, I guess it's something to be afraid of, yeah. But you know what? I just kind of feel in my heart that it's everything's just fine. Why do you say that? Well, you really want to know? I can tell you if you really want to know. But I don't want to drive anything down anybody's throat. That's what fear does. Guys, you can live this life. It's not perfect. You're not perfect. God's faithful. And you don't have to live a fear-driven life. And let me say this in closing. If you are dealing with anxiety, don't beat yourself up, please. So I'm even on medication to help me. Praise God you have medication that can help you. Then use the peace that you have from that to fight the real battle on the inside. So to get off the medication? No. That's not a goal. The goal is to live fear-free. And let God lead you in those matters. Don't make issues of things like that. Make issues of walking with God in peace. And let that fruit bear in your life, and then see how God leads you. Because, guys, we don't need to put a one-size-fits-all on these things. But God wants you to live a fear-free life. Say it out loud. He's delivered me from all my fears. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your great grace upon every heart and every life tonight. I thank you for your faithfulness. You are faithful to 10,000 generations. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if tonight you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, where would you spend it? Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here tonight, you'd say, Pastor, please include me in a prayer to invite Christ in my heart. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you'd like to be included in a prayer to invite Christ in your heart, right where you're seated, just I'll pray for you there. We'll all pray the prayer out loud together with you. Just lift your hand right where you're seated and we'll pray. His heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to make sure everybody here knows the Lord?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.